how we reconcile these two concepts as well. In addition to that, a number of other things that we're looking at, amongst them, the categories of various kinds of mistakes. And we saw that they bring a karban for what's called Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, which means a mistake of such magnitude that they're just, you know, they're clearly wrong, and that they therefore their judgment is null and void. Nonetheless, they have to bring a karban. Despite the fact that when it comes to Darush HaKadosh Mosenbaum, there is no such halacha. So that's just what the difference between those categories is, and where the third category of Dava of Tobish Radat, where that comes in as well. Okay, so if we turn to the second slide, and again, we discussed many other things yesterday, but that's the quick review to get us to where we need to go. So, I'd like to try to develop a frame of reference for understanding all of these things and putting them in some kind of a context. We started to say yesterday there are three types of three categories that we need to discuss. The category of Darush HaKadosh Mosenbaum, the category of Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, and the category of Toa B'Shikul HaDaat. And so let's go through these and try and clarify what's going on. But first of all, let's start with Darush HaTzaddik and Mosenbaum. Okay? There's such a thing as, the first thing that we have to discuss is what is meant by hora. Right? They bring a parum Darush HaTzaddik because of a faulty hora. But what is a hora? What does hora mean? So basically, hora means in the realm of halacha of taking us from a situation of doubt to a situation of certainty, from safek to vadai. If either of those components is lacking, it's not really a hora. So for example, if we have, the Gemara will often say, halacha mechlal de plige, right? The fact that we say that there's a psak tells us that there must be a machloket, there must be two sides to it. If there weren't a machlok, if everyone would agree, if there'd be only one point of view, then we wouldn't say halacha, because you don't have a hora unless there was a safek in the first place. Right? That's halacha mechlal de plige. At the same time, Rashi says in a number of places, for example, in Ksuba Safayanim and Aleph, it's the third source on the second side, Umiga hora l'iser, says the Gemara, can you have a hora? Can you talk about hora l'iser? Says Rashi, why is that? Because if you're being makil, you say that something's mutar, so then that's a definitive statement. Because if you're not certain, so you can't be matrit. But to be machmir, to say that, be careful, don't do it, that's not really hara. That could be just misafek. So it says Rashi, mika hara l'isor, umikari isor hara, mishum dechol adam rashai l'hachmir v'oser ein zes smichat varam, shafil minat safek. Shein halacha brura lo hu ba v'oser. Aval hamatir, somach al shmuot, o al svarat chachmato v'hi hora. So, when we put this together, we begin to get the idea that the pshat in hora is that we're going from a safek to a vadai. If I have something which is davar shatzduk in Mosenbaum, right? Something that is so black and white, so beferish, that you don't need any clarification, there's nothing to discuss. So then it's not a question of, well, it's such a bad mistake if they make a mistake about Darush HaTzaddik Mosenbaum. It's that there was never a mice of hora in the first place, at all. It's just not considered a mice of hora, because in order to have a mice of hora, you have to have a shiloh in the first place. So granted, they got it wrong. It's hard to imagine such a thing would really happen, but if it were to happen, so the hora, it's not just that it was an invalid hora. It's not just that the psak is null and void, which is the case by Toa B'Dvar Mishnah. But Toa B'Dvar Mishnah, there was a question. They got it latently wrong, and therefore their judgment is null and void. But there was a hora, there was a maisa hora. It was just ineffective because it was so wrong. However, when it comes to Davashat Tzaduk and Mozenbo, there was never a question in the first place, right? They mistakenly thought there was a question, and people asked thought there was a question. There really was no question in the first place. We find this, for example, in Yardei and Simon Reish Mem Bet, where it says that in terms of the halacha, of Mor Halacha B'Snei Rabbah. So it says, Mo Mikri Harab, but there is Bokhidish Lashoel. Avo Bahara Yidua, she Pshuta Lakol, Kigon Nosin Tam of Gamel, Vatal Isar B'Shishim, Kiyotz Be'elu Mutta. So,
where is that source?
That's the last one in the first box. And the point is that if something was never Bechlal Safik in the first place, if there's no Shail in the first place, you can't call it Harab, right? So, you know, I passed him from that, you know, that he can't have a cup of milk with his hamburger. So it's buffet, you know, it's so passion in the first place that it's not a hurrah, right? Because it was not the Bechlal Safek in the first place. So that's why when it comes to Darshat Tzaduk and Mozenbaum, and if you look in Sefer Yireim, you'll see, and it's found in other Rishonim as well, including Rabban, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ein Bet and Morin. So then there's no parhel darshel tzibur because zil kari be rav hu. That's the Gemara.
So, what would be an example of something that would be something that's pretty mifresh in Torah Shabbat?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but we might. It obviously we agree. Generally, we would, but they might take something to more of an extreme because they don't have Torah Shabbat that too.
Right. I was saying, but something that's so befarish that it's, you know, that you can't, it's not even a question of interpretation.
Okay,
so why? It says the Yireim, the Eina Kriya Hora L'inyan Zaki Mamre, and therefore Eina Hora. Right? In other words, so the Yireim, I think, clarifies a little bit what this means, Zil Kari Be'rav, meaning that it's not considered Hora because it was befarish in the first place. Okay, that's just something to clarify before we begin. What we really need to focus on are the other two categories. Where there was a shaila, there was a question, right? There was an issue. And then there is a category of Torah B'Svar Mishnah, Torah B'Shikla Da. So what's that all about? So I'd like to try to explain that on a few different levels. I'd like to explain what the difference between them is conceptually and what the difference between them is pragmatically and how that relates then to the Yerushalmi Sifrei and to the Ramban and Sefer HaMishnah. Okay, so we'll take it one step at a time. Rabbeinu Yonah on Avot expresses it this way, and he's speaking just in very general terms about different types of disagreements. It was like this: on the Mishnah of Al Taber Laser Omdot, is the first source on side two. He says like this. Skip down a couple of lines. He says, I'm at the end of the third line in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Sheyeshehi lifnim v'chacham afo pisha svarato notel l'zehatzad mevin hu makir ki chacham acher yuchal l'mar derech acheret el shezen nir le'inav yoter v'yeh svara shachacham mechadesh otah yakir v'yeda ki hu mukhrechet al pi asvara nechona ve'in ila panim acherot. Says Rabbeinu Yonah that sometimes a person who is a chacham, who understands and knows what's going on, will have a particular, will reach a conclusion and be convinced that this is an issue which any intelligent, informed person would have to conclude this way. If you had all the facts and you understood, you would have to reach this conclusion. There are no two ways of looking at it. That's one type of a conclusion that a chacham could reach. Another type of conclusion, in a different area, in a different issue, a person will say that given the facts such as they are, I'm convinced that bottom line this is the correct position. But I recognize that someone else could reasonably reach a different conclusion based on the facts, even if they're wise and intelligent, and even if they have all the information at their disposal, nonetheless, they could reach a different conclusion. But I still think I'm right. I think this is the correct bottom line. Okay, I understand that someone might reach a different conclusion. I understand that. Okay? Now, those are two different scenarios that Rebbe and Yonah described in the abstract. Okay. When the Rishonim in Avodah Zarah and Daf Simon and Aleph talk about the difference between Torah B'Dvar Mishnah and Torah B'Shikul HaDa'at, okay, they give different litmus tests for what's Torah B'Dvar Mishnah and what's Torah B'Shikul HaDa'at. Question that people posed yesterday. How do you know which is which? Right? Torah B'Shikul HaDa'at is still considered a Torah, but the Pesach LeBezdin is not nullified, right? It remains in effect. The in Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, it's nullified. So which is which? How do you know which it is? So there are two basic shitas that exist in Avodah Zarah. One is found in Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, and found that's one approach. And the other is found in Nimuka Yosef and in the Ritva. Okay, so first Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah. They say that if both sides have their riot, but the preponderance of evidence is on one side or the other. One person has, you know, this person or that source or this argument to base on, the other one has their source. The weight of evidence is on one side rather than the other. So that would be an issue of Torah B'Shikul HaDa'at. But if one person has their evidence and the other one has no evidence, then that would be Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. Okay? Right. In other words, if we were to have a situation in which, let's say, right, you know, once I'll pull out and say, but look, you got the Tosfot and the Rashba and the Ritva, and you got the, you know, and the Ran, and the other side, okay, but there's a Rashi here, and okay, so that may be, you see that Rov Rishon, you know, Len White, maybe you'll be discussing a case of Torah B'Shikul HaDa'at. But if on the other hand, you know, one can deduce, you know, a bunch of proofs in one direction and nothing in the other direction, it's Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. Okay, and that's an oversimplification. That may not be a perfect case, but just saying that for the first illustration gives some idea. That's one approach. A similar but slightly different approach is found in the Nimuka Yosef and the Ritva, where they say that Torah B'Dvar Mishnah means where were the other side, were the other person to know what side A has, you know, in their argument, their proofs, their arguments, whether it's Svara, whether it's sources, whatever, they wouldn't say what they say, so that's called Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. If, even though they may be wrong, they would say it even in the face of the arguments of their opponents, and that's called Torah B'Shikul HaDa'at. Okay, that's the second way of doing it. We have something along these lines. There's the famous Tshuva of the Ma'arik. It's quoted by Radan Shulchan Aruch, not the Kelim, but Shach talks about it. There's actually one interpretation of it that's very strange, but the passage in what he says is the following, that that if you have a situation where an Achron disagrees with a Rishon, right? So he says that the halacha is halacha kibatrai, that we pass them like the Achron, not the Rishon. However, that's only where the Achron knew what the Rishon said, and knew what he said, knew what it was based on, etc., and rejected it. But if he didn't know, right? So then we would pass like the Rishon, because presumably were he to know that he was, you know, arguing with whomever, he wouldn't have said what he did. Okay, and I think that's very much along, you know, I'm not saying it's identical, but it's based on these general principles here. Yeah.
Wait, so
the
Then at most it's Torah B'Dvar Mishnah.
I don't know. If they would have said what they said anyhow, then it's Torah B'Shikul HaDa'at. Shikul HaDa'at means it's a judgment call.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Torah B'Dvar Mishnah means that you're fairish wrong. So how do you judge that? So these are the two basic approaches. It seems to me that basically what both Rabbi, you know, Tamir Rabbeinu Yonah and the Ritva are are doing
the
last one's Nimuk HaYesed and the Ritva, they both say the same thing. What they're doing really is to give us a pragmatic yardstick for the concept that you find in Rabbeinu Yonah, right, on Avot. In other words, they're saying that it's a way of judging, is this a judgment call? Right. A judgment call doesn't mean that one is more right than the other. One's more right than the other. In relative terms, one's more right than the other. And there's another idea of Torah B'Dvar Mishnah where it's simply incorrect. It's just plain wrong. Okay. Awesome. So let's go a step further. Okay, let's go a step further. Let's now look at the primary sources upon which this is all based. If you look at the Sifrei, and you look at Yerushalmi side by side, it's very interesting. This is something that's pointed out by many Mefarshim. It's not an original point. I'm just trying to put it all together. Even I think I'm taking it further than the Parshan on Beis Nahum, but nonetheless, certainly the Yisod is found in the Chidah, the Sefer Lazarus, the Rashav, etc. And that is, they point out that there's a difference in the Lashon between the Sifrei and the Yerushalmi. What do they each say? So the Sifrei says like this, Al Pi HaTorah Sheyerucha. Al divrei Torah chayav misa vein chayav misa al divrei Torah. Al mishpat asher yomurucha tasem misa asei lo tasume Torah asher giducha misa lo tasei. Yamin u'smol, this is part that's relevant to us. Afilu mar'im beinecha al yamin shu smol v'al smol shu yamin shema lahem. Okay? So afilu mar'im beinecha, right, even if it appears to you that they're saying al yamin shu smol v'al smol shu yamin. That's the Sifrei that Rashi, etc. are based on. That's the concept of Zaken Mamre. Now, Afilu Marim Beinecha sounds like it's a judgment call, right? It appears in your eyes that they are wrong. But are they in fact wrong? I think they're wrong. But look at the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi says, what are we talking about in the Mishnah? A question that people raised yesterday. What are we talking about in the Mishnah? Who is this person? What type of person is it that has to bring a chatat for having followed the Bez then and done what they said is mutter? So says the Yerushalmi, it goes to a discussion, and what we're talking about, who knows the time, doesn't know the time, okay, then let's go down a few lines, middle of the third line, Ela shehu kitoa lomar Torah amra acharehem, and some versions are acharehem acharehem, okay? So says the Yerushalmi, V'im b'Torah lomar ha'Torah amra achareim achareim. The Torah is telling us, if this person thinks that you're supposed to follow the Sanhedrin no matter what, the Shimon ben Azai, is that a case of the example that gave Shimon ben Azai, a person who is roi lo ra? Now listen to what the Yerushalmi is saying. The Yerushalmi is saying that what is the mistake that this person made in following the Sanhedrin? Well, he thought they were supposed to follow the Sanhedrin no matter what. Based on the following, Kahadadatani, and it's like that which we learned, the following Braita. Listen to this Braita and compare it, put it side by side with the Sifrei. It's fascinating. Yachol im yomu lecha, al yamin shehu shi smol, val smol shi yamin tishma lahem. I might have thought I'm supposed to follow them, even if they tell me al yamin shehu smol, val smol shi yamin. And what does that sound just like? Look at Sifrei, right? I might think like the Sifrei and like Rashi and Rabbi, right? That after Yom Rimcha Talmud Lomar Balecha Yamin Usmal She Yom Rimcha Yamin Shu Yamin Bal Smal Shu Smal. If only to tell you that Yamin is Yamin, Smal is Smal. Amazing, right? But if you look at it carefully, there's a difference between the Sifrei and the Yerushalmi. What's the difference between the Sifrei and the Yerushalmi? The Sifrei says Afilu Marim Beinecha, right? Even if it appears to you. Yerushalmi says, "I feel only lecha aliyin shu small vav small shemim." Tremendous difference. And now let's go back to, and I'll show you a riotous from the Rambam in a moment, I think. But primarily, let's go back to the Ramban. What does the Ramban say? And look at how it comes together. If we were to assign a category to the type of Yamin Usmal that is being discussed in the Yerushalmi and the Sifrei. What's the difference between the Yerushalmi and the Sifrei in halacha categories? What's the difference between them?
Bar Mishnah and Shikol HaDat.
The Yerushalmi talks about Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. The Sifrei talks about Torah B'Shikul HaDaat. And now if we take everything that we've learned and plug it back into the Ramban, look at how beautifully it fits together. Says the Ramban. Number one, if I think that the Beis Din is wrong, if I think the Sanhedrin Gol is wrong, I have to assume that, I have to assume a couple of things. First of all, I have to assume that chances are that I'm wrong and they're not wrong. That's number one. But let's say they really are wrong. I'm still convinced. I mean, after everything you said, I'm convinced that they're wrong. They missed the boat. But I need to at least assume that if they are wrong, in what way are they wrong? By the way, the Rush, it's interesting, the Rush and Hedges did a similar thing about how we approach issues with the Gaonim, how we shown them relative to the Gaonim. But I'm looking at the Sanhedrin Gaon, I say, they made a mistake. I'm convinced they made a mistake. I think they're wrong. But what kind of wrong? Presumably, Shikul HaDaat, not Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, right? If you didn't know what they're talking about, they say that maybe they misjudged. So the Ramban says, if that's the case, they were told to Shikul HaDaat. So I have a chiyuv. So the phrase says, "Afilu maram beinecha shem om luchal yimin shu small shu yimin." Tishma lehem, I have to listen to them, even though I think that my judgment is better than their judgment. Says the Rambam, what should I do? Says, look carefully inside the Ramban now. Go back to that Ramban on the first page. V'hinei nomar lo b'kaf atam eskudeh. U'kinyan shenahag, right above where it says Chafei Aleph, right? U'kinyan shenahag Rabbi Yoshua Ram Gamliel b'yom ha-kipurim shechal liyob l'cheshbonov. K'moshes kar b'masecha Rosh Hashanah. Now, why does the Ramban pick on that case? We said, it's so strange, because there we have a question of Asher Chikuro Tam, right? So what the Ramban I think is saying though is that case is paradigmatic because of the fact that, see, what does the halacha of Asher Chikuro Tam tell me? What does that halacha tell me? In other words, Rabbi Yoshua felt that these Edim are clearly Ede Sheker. What they're saying just couldn't be true. And therefore, what should be the case? It should be that it's not when Rosh Chodesh is and that's not when Yom Kippur is. What Rabbi Akiva told him was that every case of Rosh Chodesh, every time that there's a dispute as to when we should be Koveh Rosh Chodesh and when we should be called the Moedos, is automatically what kind of a case?
Shikul HaDaat
case, right? It's because in the end of the day, whatever they decide is what it is. And therefore, you can say that I think that it's poor judgment, that they should have picked a different day, but it's not Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, because they can't be black and white wrong, because whatever they say, and that's the whole point of Rabbi Akiva's halacha, right? That places into the category of Shikul HaDaat. That's only a question of judgment. This is what the Ramban is trying to tell us, because if you follow, look at how he continues, and here's a significant point. The Yesh Bazet Tanai Yitbonein Bo Amistakel B'Rishon Shul Hori Ba'ayin Yaseh.
Behem shi'is ubi nuimo, v'miskimu rubam b'bitol hadat ahu, sh'amar, v'shibshu alav sarotav,
Yachzur v'yinhog ki da'atam acharekim achar shesuku oto v'yasu afkama b'tanotas. What changed from before he went to Beis Din and after he went to Beis Din? What changed?
He realized that he gave them all the information and he converted it from a Mishnah to Shikoda.
Right. In other words, before he went to the Sanhedrin, he can be of the opinion, right? He says to himself, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't have all the facts. They certainly don't have all the necessary perspective. If only they were to know and understand everything that needs to be understood, needs to be known in this case, certainly they would judge differently, right? In a word, they're Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. They're Torah B'Dvar Mishnah. So then, what does the Yerushalmi say? You're not supposed to follow them, right? If I do follow them, chayav chatam. However, once I go, right, once this person goes, and he says to the Sanhedrin, what are you talking about? But what about this? And what about that? And they discuss and they argue as the Ramban describes. And then, nonetheless, they maintain their position. Now, could it be that they're still wrong? Absolutely, it could still be that they're wrong. But if they're wrong at this point, what kind of wrong are they? You can't maintain that they're Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, right? You can't maintain that if only they knew this, he told it to them already. If only they thought about that, he told it to them already. So if in the face of all of the information and Svarot, etc., that he presents to them, they still maintain their position, right? I have to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're being, you know, intellectually honest and that they're listening to what he has to say and they're... But nonetheless, in their judgment, they feel that he's wrong. So then which type of machloket is this, right? He thought originally that was machloket, that's black and white, and they just, you know, simply are you know, ill-informed and misinformed, or that they're, you know, that they simply, you know, just don't realize the whatever it is. So he has to, so small. But then afterwards, after he's presented his case, so maybe they're wrong, but it's at most marim de'enecha. Okay. The criteria that the Ramban gives is precisely, I think, in line with this understanding of the distinction between the Yerushalmi and the Sifrei, between the categories of Torah B'Dvar Mishnah, Torah B'Shivadat, etc. In other words, let me just show you a riot to this for a moment, and then let's get to the implications. First of all, let me just point out that this fits beautifully with the source of the Torah, because how does the parsha of Lotasar begin? Kipalem chadav al mishpat, right? What does kipalem chadav al mishpat mean? Mean that if it's something where there is a gray area, there's room for doubt. So, if it's marim de'enecha, so lotasu medavar shehi. If it is a gray area, if it's something that was room for debate, there are two ways of looking at it. So then, yachanan, kipalim chadral mishpat. So then, apiyat rashi erucha. But if it's not marim de'enecha, it's not a question of that I'm not certain, but I believe they're wrong. It's a question of, it's black and white, as far as I'm concerned, right? And I'm a bar hachi to say that. Right, so obviously, a necessary criteria. So if that's the case, then what do we say? So, staff kazushan says, ba'om l'cha yimin shunyin, ha'f mosh is small. The Rambam, when he formulates this halacha in Hilchot Shkaga Parak Gimel Halacha Hey, says something very interesting. Says, he quotes the, basically codifies the Mishnah in the beginning of Hariot, and he says, what is special about this person that we're discussing in the Mishnah? Afilu horu shnei bat yidinim b'davar achad kigon chelev chelev.
Okay,
Haru betin lechol chelev akeva kulo. V'yada achad min hakahal sheta'u. V'chelev akeva asur v'achum bnei aratan. Shaya ulel datan sh'mitzvah shmoli betin apu pishem toim. Hareza ochel chayav chatat kfuwa al achilato. V'eil mitzarif minyan shogim al piyam. Bamed v'amamurim, when do we say that this person's chayav his own separate chata and doesn't count as part of the tzibur? Kishaya zeh sheyada sheta'u chacham O Talmid Shigila Hora'a. Aval Ima Ya'ama Aret, Hareza Patur, Shen Yidiyato Be'isurin Yidiyavada It, Umitztaref Lechla Shogigim Alpihem. Vachain Im Lo Yadasha Ta'uv, Nitkaven Lechol Shuman Machayov, etc., etc. Vul Yadashu Chel, okay. Hareza Chayam Ne Shachilatom, Ne Shigadov Mamera. Vain Mitztaref Lemina Shogim, etc. Achi Eshkar Echad Lechol. V'chem t'la b'atzmo v'achal chel v'keva sheru l'tira lo m'pnei ratan el m'pnei shu mutar b'da'ato harizu chayav chatar k'fua z'akla kol t'la b'etin patur v'u shiesh sham kol ha'drachim shemaninu v'chol ha'chayav b'pnei atzmo y'mistarif l'rov shogim. So what's the category of a person who's not included, you know, who is chayav his own separate chatat? So what are we told? It has to be a Talmid Chacham Sha'ula Rab. Why? Because if he's not, if im hayama aretz hareza batur she'en yidiyato be'isurin yidiya vada'it. Okay. In other words, what is the criteria? Criteria is that it's not a gray area, but rather it's a vada. And if he has to be able to say that it's not just that he feels that they're wrong, but it's a vada to him. Okay. Not a vada. So then, up here, Rashi, then in the category of kipalei mechadar on the spot. This is exactly how I think the Rambam is basically consistent with the idea that we found in the Rambam. Yeah.
Do we know about cases that we say, like maybe the Rambam or someone in the Yerushalmi said that they didn't agree with Alachem because of the Alachem or someone? Like, do we know about cases that it happened?
You want to know whether there's a case of which category? Case.
But they didn't agree with the Echol and every some sample, and they said because it's someone that Bezadai. But we know that it's all the.
Sure. Are there cases where someone disagreed with where an individual who was a Bahara disagreed with Sanhedrin? Certainly, there are cases like that. That is an issue. Ediot, for example, I mean, it's a little bit of a complicated issue, but there are cases of that amongst the time, I'm sure. Question, in terms of who's right, there's a lot to discuss, but I just want to get through the basic core principles. In any case, I think that based on this, there are a few things that we can understand. First of all, it helps us to reconcile the area of Horiot and Sanhedrin, of Vayikra and Dvarim, of the two perspectives on Sanhedrin's functioning. But it certainly gives us a perspective on the Ramban's criteria, what it's based on, and why it is that things change from before and after this discussion. But more so, it gives us a perspective on the process halacha. In other words, if we begin with a pure concept of lotasur, of halacha and what the Sanhedrin says being one and the same on the one hand, and a pure concept of Horiot, of Sanhedrin being subject to talos, etc., on the other hand, the truth about halacha, I believe, is someplace in between. That at the same time, there is such a concept as limits and boundaries, something that is beyond the pale, something that is simply wrong. The concept of, on the one hand, of Torah B'Svar Mishnah, where
there is an absolute truth, and the Sanhedrin is trying to conform to, and it's not just whatever they say. At the same time, there is an idea of al piyat rashi rucha in terms of ki palei mukhatav al rishma, in terms of where there's a gray area, in terms of where there's a judgment. To the degree that it is, so ultimately, not only is the Sanhedrin trying to be responsible to that ultimate idea of what the Torah is trying to say, but it has there's even an accountability in terms of the absolute boundaries. At the same time, there is a concept of some things that are a matter of judgment and not a matter of absolute, a matter of gray areas, a matter of where something is not clear cut, a matter where area where we would say elu ve'elu, where we would say that there is elements of validity to both sides. And of course, there are countless sources reflecting each of these types of scenarios and categories. And I go through that now, and obviously, in Erev, in the Gemara Chagig, and so on and so forth, there's so many things that come to mind. But just very briefly, I think it's important to realize these basic categories, because this begins to give us a perspective, I think, on the halakhic process in a very fundamental and important way. Okay, Ezra Hashem, I could tomorrow find things that I don't know about, always many, try to begin a whole new topic, and in case anyone has a desire to look at it ahead of time, which is absolutely not a requirement whatsoever, but sometimes people like to have the opportunity to do so, I'll tell you what we're going to be looking at. As I said, primarily we're going to focus on a lot of interrelated things, but primarily we're going to focus on Shorish reviews. Okay? What's Shorish? So, if anyone thought that we weren't going to get beyond the first couple of Sharasim,
which one? What's the first Sharasim? The fourth Sharasim?
So,
one sentence.
I'll read this fourth Sharasim. It's Ein Lo Olim Not HaTzivuyim HaKolulim HaTorah Kula.
My general word is so long.
I've got what exactly is, but the
יש אולי, אמרו את זה אולי על ה...